Is it possible in 21st century America that your privately held beliefs that marriage is the union of a man and woman can get you fired from a job?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, I constantly get ridiculed when I will make a statement to the effect of gay activists who came out of the closet 40 plus years ago fighting for what they said is equality, tolerance for their rights. They sincerely believe that. Those who came out of the closet now want to put people like me in the closet. Well, I can't tell you how many times I get mocked for that, and there'll be gay activist website or right-wing watch type website, and they'll ridicule me. How stupid. That's not happening. You're extremist. And well, what's interesting is I've seen the tone changing in the last few years so that people have begun to say bigots like you belong in the closet. I'm going to talk to a dear friend, colleague, an apologist, author, campus lecturer, who's also been very successful lecturer, speaking to big companies about working together, working in diversity, leadership principles, and yet he has been fired. He has been fired, not from one, but from two major companies, dismissed as a vendor that was coming in to teach and equip their people because he wrote a book that was about redefining marriage, why same-sex marriage is not marriage at all, correct but not politically correct. Someone found out about it and fired him. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. My guest sitting in the studio with me here in a hidden location outside of Charlotte, North Carolina, Frank Turek, award-winning author, co-author with Norm Geisler of I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist, and his book, Against Redefining of Marriage, Correct But Not Politically Correct. Frank, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, Mike. It's always great to be with you.
You're also on the radio on the American Family Radio Network on Saturdays.
Yeah, Saturday mornings at 10 Eastern time on the AFR Radio Network. And our website, crossexamined.org, that's cross-examined with a D on the end of it. They can get all the stations and listen to it in podcast there if you want. What we do is we present evidence for Christianity and we cross-examine ideas against it. And we deal with some of these cultural issues like you do, Mike.
So let's take a couple of minutes before we talk about what happened on the job, because this is your life. This is not, we heard it, someone found it on the internet and heard it, and this is your life. But how did you get on these cultural, moral issues? You're an apologist, you're dealing with atheism, you're helping college kids understand there really is a God, the gospel is true, the New Testament's reliable. How did you end up on the moral side of this and even writing a book about the redefinition of marriage?
Well, years ago, I was brought up in the great state of New Jersey, and so I speak at 150 words a minute with gusto 350, so try and keep up. But anyway, I grew up next to a family, and one of the young sons from this family got involved in homosexuality. He was the older brother of my best friend, and he got involved in it and went into New York City and really immersed himself in that lifestyle, and we buried him at the age of 36, dead from AIDS, and that was back in 1993, and I started seminary in 1993, and I saw so many people who just seemed to be misinformed on this issue. They Christians couldn't articulate why homosexuality was a problem for people who engage in it, much less society. And so I decided to ultimately write a book on the topic, really more about same-sex marriage and why marriage should only be promoted from the government's perspective between a man and a woman, because a man and a woman are the only two individuals that can procreate, and that's ultimately why marriage is promoted by the government.
All right, so you lost a friend, you got burdened about the issue, you wrote about it. Little did you know what the consequences would be. If you've got a question or something like this has happened to you, discrimination because of your biblically held beliefs, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884.
fire we
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us. It's Wednesday. That means our focus is on the world, moral, cultural issues taking place in society. And look, one of the big, big issues, we've talked about it before on the broadcast. I've got an article right now on townhall.com dealing with this issue. Gay rights still trumping freedom of speech and religion. If you care about your freedoms, this is something you need to pay attention to. We are not just making noise about nothing or trying to get you all worked up and rally around a cause. We're trying to tell the truth because we're concerned, which is why I've been telling leaders and those with moral influence in the society and educational influence, speak now or forever hold your peace. 866-34-TRUTH. 866-348-7884. My guest, Dr. Frank Turek, author of a number of books, co-author, including Correct, Not Politically Correct, How Same-Sex Marriage Hurts Everyone. All right, Frank, I knew you through your apologetics work. You've spoken at our school. You've done classes. I've always enjoyed, I mean, you're from New Jersey and all
that. Forget about it.
But the fact is your presentations are compelling. You've got great PowerPoint. You're a great speaker, motivator, and all this. So I only find out afterwards that you do this in the secular realm as well. Mm-hmm. I've been doing it for years and have been doing it very successfully. So What kind of presentations would you do for places like Bank of America or Cisco Systems?
Well, the presentation I was doing for Cisco was a presentation called Breakaway Leadership, The Essentials of Leadership. And it's a full-day program. And I was giving the presentation. And after the presentation, the next day, overnight, somebody had Googled me in the class.
Was it multi-day?
It was a one-day deal. Okay. So I had them all day. And one of the participants in the class Googled me and found out that I had written this book. And he admitted to the HR director, he said, Frank's class was excellent. But since he doesn't live up to Cisco values, he can't work here anymore. Well, Mike, I was fired within hours without anyone even talking to me. The HR director never even spoken to me. Now, this book was never brought up anywhere in my class. Marriage had nothing to do with the leadership program I was doing. We didn't touch on religious or even moral issues in the class. But somebody had simply found out I had an opinion that differed from his. This was a homosexual gentleman in the class, and he was one of the better students in the class as well. I liked him. He liked me. But he saw that, you know, gee, I had written this book. I never mentioned it in Cisco, and so I was fired within hours.
Did you send people to your website during?
No. I have two websites.
Did you have a book table with the book there?
No, none of that.
Tell everyone, look, I'm a Christian, and everything I do is from biblical values, and either get on with it or get out of here.
No, none of that. Mike, the people who say they're fighting for tolerance are the most intolerant people out there.
Yeah.
You know, if tolerance is our virtue here, which it shouldn't be, our virtue should be love. Because tolerance is too weak. Tolerance says hold your nose and put up with them. Love says reach out and help them. But if tolerance is our social virtue, then it should go both ways. Look, I was willing to work with people of all different sexual behaviors. I do that all the time. I'm totally willing and treat them with respect. In fact, we ought to treat people with respect because
they're human beings. That guy should have been fired, though, because he was a homosexual working in that company.
No, not at all. See, that's what people think. I'm willing to be inclusive. They're not willing to be inclusive. They want to exclude me because my opinion differs from them. Well, how is that tolerance?
Okay, so let's
how is that diversity? In the name of inclusion and diversity, you're fired.
let's turn this around.
Okay.
I'm sitting in a seminar. Mm-hmm. There's a guy doing something on leadership principles for our company. We work with, say, IBM, right? Great presentation, so on. IBM has him speaking at their different branches and so on because he's really excellent on leadership principles and effective leadership and so on. I find out that he actually wrote a book arguing why marriage should be redefined and why two men or two women should be able to be married.
Sure.
I then go to human resources and I tell the HR director, hey, wait a second. I found out that this guy stands for same-sex marriage, and that's wrong. Mm-hmm. Fire him.
Yep.
Could you even imagine
that? You would be fired. And that's exactly what I told the head of diversity at Cisco, because I had the head of diversity. Now, to their credit, let me just say, they did eventually apologize. In fact, I wrote a letter to the CEO of Cisco, John Chambers, which you can read in Mike Adams' column of June 16, 2011. The column's called The Cisco Kid. Mike just took the letter I wrote to Chambers and made it public. And I said in the beginning of the letter, I said, I appreciate your support for Senator John McCain in the last election, Mr. Chambers, because he was on a McCain committee in California. He wanted McCain to be president. And I said, are you aware that John McCain has the same views on same-sex marriage and gays in the military and all that as I do? So I eventually said, are you qualified to be working at Cisco? You know, come on. What happened to inclusion and diversity here?
So, I mean, right. There was an event, a Focus on the Family event, Love One Out, that they ran for years. Now Exodus International runs it. And I was one of the speakers there. And I was dealing with more of the issues about what's happening with gay activism and what you can do to make an impact in your society. But the whole conference, the whole thrust of the conference was helping people with unwanted same-sex attraction and family. Very compassionate conference. Well, it turns out that it's going to be the day before the conference. There was a seminar that was going to be hosted by a university, state-funded university in the area that was going to be a counter event to our event. This is just a church event, but the university is now going to have a counter event.
Funded by public money?
With public money, okay. Right. So yeah. Focus on the Family, then we got involved with a campaign as well. Between us, with people calling in from, emailing from radio, and then their event, Focus on the Family, getting their word out through CitizenLink, we generated 10,000 emails to the school saying, you're going to have a radical anti-gay activist giving a one-hour presentation followed by a panel discussion with five people sponsored by the Inclusion and Diversity Department, but there's not a single person representing the other side. And they said, could you put Dr. Brown on the panel? And in the name of inclusion and diversity, they refused.
You mean a radical pro-gay activist?
No, they
had a radical pro-gay activist.
Pro-gay, I said it backwards.
And you were gonna say, look, let me just give you the other side.
He's an anti-ex-gay person.
Okay, all right,
his whole organization is opposing. Thanks for catching that.
All right.
So it was all One Direction, state-funded university, and in the name of inclusion and diversity, I had one group here said we will not work with you because we are inclusive.
Now, Mike, I'm noticing in your article, which is up on townhall.com, which is titled Gay Rights Still Trumping Freedoms of Religion and Speech, you've got several examples of the one-way tolerance in here that I didn't even know about until I just read this article. Tell me, who's this guy who is playing sermons in his UK cafe? What's the deal with that?
Well, I read about it in the Culture Watch website. That's Bill Muhlenberg in Australia. And there's a guy, Christian cafe owner. He has police come in, gets interrogated for an hour and a half. This is his own cafe, and it's Christian because he has a DVD playing with the Bible on his TV screen. So all the time the scriptures are being read, and you can see the scriptures and so on. And someone complained that because the Bible contains verses against homosexuality, that it is hate speech, stirring up hate against another group. He fully expected that he was going to be escorted out by the police.
Well,
and they told him, you don't do it until we work this through.
Let's bring it to this side of the pond. University of Illinois, there was a professor who actually got into trouble for teaching the Catholic position on homosexual behavior. What's the deal with that?
All right, so,
I didn't know this either.
So this Kenneth Howell.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so let's just understand this. It's in the religion department.
Okay.
He's Catholic.
Yes.
He's teaching what Catholics believe. Okay. Catholics believe in a pope. Catholics believe Mary's the mother of God. So he's teaching that. He's not expected to teach what Muslims believe. Okay. So in the course of the class, he's explaining moral law arguments, natural law, and why Catholicism holds to certain things. And he's dealing with sexual issues and saw that the students were not getting a grip on this in terms of why the Catholic Church said that same-sex behavior was wrong or disordered. So in order to help them and prepare for a test, he sent out an email to his students in the class, in the religion department in a Catholic class about what does Catholicism believe, explaining the difference between utilitarianism, so just whatever and however and whatever you want to do and when and so on and what you think is best, versus natural moral law. And a student who wasn't in the class heard about it, got offended, and the professor got fired.
The professor got fired?
Yeah, the professor got fired. Now, ultimately, O'Reilly picked it up, national outcry, reinstated. Now, I heard from someone that they just dropped the class. They hired him back, dropped the class. I don't know if that's accurate. But Frank, on your end, so Cisco, they never met with you.
Well, the guy who hired me, who happened to be a friend of mine, came and told me.
And no, but I mean, there was no due process.
No due process at all. Just you're fired. Yeah. Oh,
okay. So
yeah.
after they've apologized, yeah. they've asked you to come back.
No. 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 They said, I'm still a vendor in good standing, but that doesn't mean anything. It's an apology without a remedy. They did pay the whole contract. I was 80% through it. They did pay the whole contract to their credit, but they'll never have me back in the name of inclusion and diversity. How could they?
Oh, okay. And then let me follow
through. Even though everyone loved the course and it was effective. So, you know.
Oh, okay. But then the same thing happened. We got a break coming up here. But yeah. the same thing happened with Bank of America?
Even worse with Bank of America. I'll explain why after the break.
Oh, okay. So, friends, this is real life. This could be your job. I'm not saying get mad at those gays. No. I'm saying there must be justice and there must be righteousness. And those calling for tolerance have become the most intolerant.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us, friends, on the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you by God's grace, providing a voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. 866-342. If you've got a question for me or for my guest, Frank Turek, 866-348-7884, online, ask drbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Frank's website, cross-examined, that's with a D at the end, one word, cross-examined.org. You'll find a lot of great resources on his website. The next hour, Frank, hopefully it's going to work out at your invitation. Gay activist in the area here stands very strongly for the redefinition of marriage and feels that religion is handling this in a very wrong way. He's going to be in, hopefully makes it in to discuss mm-hmm. these issues with us yep. Here on the broadcast. But Frank, okay, you're Bank of America, big mm-hmm. company, one of the biggest companies in America. What kind of lectures were you doing for them?
Well, Bank of America, actually the presentation I was going to do was called Why Can't You Be Normal Just Like Me? It's a fun presentation, mostly based on personality differences, that people have different personalities and you got to learn how to adapt to them. So it was almost kind of a diversity presentation. And I was 3 days away from presenting it up in New Jersey. We had it all worked out. I was scheduled to come at one of their meetings. I've done plenty of work for Bank of America over the years. I live here in Charlotte. And I got a phone call just 3 days before it happened that says, oh, we found out you wrote this book on same-sex marriage. We're going another direction. You can't work here. So I sent a letter to the president of Bank of America as well. And they ultimately fessed up and said they shouldn't have done that. But again, it's an apology without a remedy. I never even started the presentation with Bank of America. They preempted it.
All right. So let's just understand this. You, as a private citizen, mm-hmm. in America, whatever private citizen, in other mm-hmm. words, not as a, not on behalf of the government or you write a book, mm-hmm. correct, not politically correct, how same-sex marriage hurts everyone. And you quote the Bible through the whole book, right?
Negative. All right. I hardly quote the Bible at all. It's all really natural law, social reasons why marriage between a man and a woman is best for society.
Right, exactly. So, yeah. So you sent me the book to read to it.
In fact,
advance.
you're in the acknowledgments. You helped me.
Yeah,
went through it
carefully.
Yeah,
great. Yeah. And in fact, I've pulled out some of the executive summary when I was debating some of these issues and said, hey, great, very helpful. But it's not even a book based on, well, the Bible says this, the Bible says it, which is fine. That's perfectly great for us to stand on that. So you write this book, book gets out, but you could write a book on Labrador Retrievers mating school. You could write a book on how to play better cricket. You could write, uh-huh. I mean, whatever. People write books on everything.
Right.
What does that have to do with Bank of America leadership talks?
Well, it should have nothing to do with it. The others will say, well, he's a bigot then. He's a bigot because he doesn't agree with us. Well, I always ask people who say you're a bigot if you're against homosexuality or same-sex marriage, define what you mean by bigotry. I had one guy say fear and intolerance. I said, bigotry is not fear and intolerance. Bigotry is prejudging an issue, having no evidence for it. And even when you get new evidence, you don't change your mind, evidence that's counter to your view. That's bigotry. It's not bigotry to say that a certain behavior is either good or bad for society. That's not bigotry. That's common sense wisdom if you're right about the issue.
Yeah, and you know, if we hear that there are a lot of robberies in homes, mm-hmm. and it's all through our neighborhood, so we get an alarm system and mm-hmm. we make sure we have double locks on our doors. Is that fear? Is that bigotry because there's fear and intolerance?
No, not at all. And I look, to have a definition of marriage is not bigotry. Everybody puts limits on marriage. Our friend who comes here in the second half, I'm going to ask him, why is his definition just two people? Why not three people, four people, five? If he has a definition that says it's two people, is he bigoted against people who want to have three in a marriage or four in a marriage? No,
but that's not the issue. We just love each other.
You see, well, four people can love one another.
Right.
So, in other words, I'm not comparing same-sex marriage and polygamy. I'm comparing the logic used
exactly
to try and affirm each one of
bigotry,
these.
So the bigotry was actually against you.
Yeah, because the people, both at Cisco and both at Bank of America, neither of the individuals who complained there had read the book. They just saw it on the internet.
Even if they read the book.
Yeah.
What? It's not like you wrote a book saying all African Americans should be sent back to Africa.
No.
Or Jews should be kicked out of the country and go to Israel.
No.
You just said, you know, marriage has always been one thing and there's a good reason for it. And it's in everybody's best interest to keep it as it is. And now mm-hmm. there is intolerance, there mm-hmm. is discrimination, there is bigotry towards that position.
Yes.
Not for them to say, you know, we really differ with that, so make sure you keep this out of the presentation. It's like, well, that's not part of the presentation anyway.
It never was part of the presentation. And I think the other point we need to make here is this is supposed to be America. We're supposed to be able to have political views, debate them vigorously, have different political views, and still get along. And I wrote a column on this right after all this happened. It's at townhall.com. It's called Sex at Work. It was one of the top columns of the year on townhall.com, largely because AFA put out an alert on it. But I make the point in there. I said, why are we even talking about sex at work anyway? Are we supposed to have sex at work? It depends on your profession, I guess. But no, we're not. We ought to treat people with respect because they're human beings, not because they desire to sleep with a certain type of person. We ought to treat them with respect because they're human beings, regardless of what they want to do in bed sexually. But no, now we're bringing all this sexuality into work, which is inevitably going to create conflict. It's going to create conflict for people who agree with it or disagree with it. Why not just leave it out and let people work and treat one another with respect because they're human beings?
And that's the respect, obviously, you didn't get.
No, I didn't get it.
So you got an apology, but without remedy. An apology, but see you, buddy.
That's right. Well, look, I don't – tell you the truth, Mike. If people don't want to work with me because of that stand, that's perfectly within their right to do so. But if you're going to say that, then broadcast it to the world. Don't go around telling people you're inclusive and diverse because you're really not. If you want to go out and say, we don't want to work with or hire anybody that has a – traditional or natural marriage viewpoint, then broadcast it to the world. You'll lose most of your customers. It would be a violation of the Civil Rights Act and all that, but go ahead and say it. But what they do instead, Mike, is they say they're inclusive and diverse when in reality they're really not.
Yeah, it has become the exact opposite. It mm-hmm. really is mm-hmm. doublespeak. Hey, Frank, you've had a copy from early on in my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America.
I have it right here.
Of course, I quote you in it as well on mm-hmm. the marriage issues. I cite you. And then you were at the debate I did with Rabbi Shmuley on homosexuality here at Southern Evangelical Seminary. Mm-hmm. Do you think that would be enlightening for folks to watch?
Oh, it would be very enlightening, and it was a wonderful debate, and I was shocked at how you backed Shmuley into a corner, Rabbi Shmuley, and he actually, in my view, basically said, don't believe the scriptures, and I thought that was crazy for an Orthodox Jew to say that.
Yeah, and you were expressing how incredulous you were over that.
Yeah.
All right, listen, friends. Here's what you can do. My book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, with postage, it's over $30 value. But here's what we're doing. This book, plus, for free, the two-hour debate, the DVD debate with Rabbi Shmulis, that's another $15, $30 postage paid for all of it. Queer Thing Happened to America, and I'll even sign it if you already have one, want to give it to someone. $30 postage paid, the book and the two-hour DVD, which is riveting and eye-opening. Get them together for 1-800- Call 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time. 1-800-278-9978. Stand with us. Together we are making a difference. I remind you, speak now or forever. Hold your peace.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire. My guest, Dr. Frank Turek, author of Correct, Not Politically Correct, How Same-Sex Marriage Hurts Everyone. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. Okay, I just have to, give me one second, Frank. All right, guys, Andrew and Joey, I'm typing really quick to send you a note right before I start. The music starts, I'm about to come on, I'm being announced, so I'm typing while speaking, and I typed the word, I spelled right wrongly. I actually got an extra letter in there. Typed the O along with it. The fact of the matter is, guys, I'm very kind to you. I never point out your typos. Okay, it was all Andrew. So I never point that out, guys. And now one time in the history of the broadcast, I make one little mistake. Actually, this is a game we play. Any typo, we immediately jump on each other, and then we I've even taken screenshots of it and sent it out.
After all, this is a show about grace, isn't it?
This is look, I'm a New York Jew, man. You gotta just have fun with it. I've had friends. A colleague and I would do this. He'd send me like a one-page detailed email on something, and I noticed one letter that was out of place. Well, and so when I write back, I just put the letter, just an A. And then he'd have to go through the whole thing to find where is the typo. But that's just
grace, baby, grace.
Grace, a lot of grace. All right, Frank, I want to take a couple of calls here, but I don't know if you heard about this story. A 15-year-old Wisconsin boy was asked to write opposing op-ed piece, pro and con. He was asked to write the piece opposing gay adoptions, right? In the Shawano School District, and I don't know, it's like less than 1% of the population identifies as gay. Whatever, it's tiny. I forget the exact figure, but when I looked at it, it was tiny. So what happened was he writes the op-ed piece and used Bible passages to defend his argument, including scripture that called homosexuality a sin. After the op-ed was published, a gay couple whose child attends the high school complained.
Stop right there. There's no such thing. There's no gay couple with a child. There may be two people, one of them who is the biological parent with a child.
Got it.
Right? I mean, let's cut through all this and say what it is.
All right.
Okay? A gay couple who are looking after a child. Now, one of them may be the biological parent, but they're both not.
I'm sorry.
Right, I had to say that.
The school then issued an apology.
For what?
Because the boy's opinion was, are you ready? A form of bullying and disrespect. He was called in to the principal's office, the superintendent, whatever. He was subjected to hours of meetings. He was accused of violating the school's bullying policy.
So he was bullied into, first of all, he was asked to write the column. Then he writes it, and then they claim he's a bully while they bully him because he's a bully?
This is what we're dealing with.
Oh, come on.
There's the school's apology. Quote, offensive articles cultivating a negative environment of disrespect are not appropriate or condoned by the Shawano School District. We sincerely apologize to anyone we may have offended and are taking steps to prevent items of this nature from happening in the future. So Matt Staver, Liberty Council, they're on this immediately. He said what the school did was outrageous. He said the 15-year-old was ordered to the superintendent's office where he was subject to hours of meetings, was accused of violating the school's bullying policy. Quote, the superintendent called him ignorant and said he had the power to suspend him. He's using his position to bully the student. This is absolutely the epitome of intolerance. Davis said the boy's parents were never notified. And look, this is a 15-year-old. This is a 15-year-old kid. And when he said he did not regret writing it and he stood behind his beliefs, Superintendent Carlson told him that he had got to be one of the most ignorant kids to try to argue with him about this topic. And we have the power to suspend you if we want to. This is what we're dealing with.
This is Big Brother.
Gross. Right. That's why my big chapter on this and the current thing happened to America is called Big Brother is Watching.
Right.
And he really is gay. But let's come back and talk through a little bit further that, well, what about judge? We don't want to be judging, though. Christians shouldn't judge. Don't judge. Jesus said, don't judge. We'll be back with your calls.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for being part of The Line of Fire broadcast today, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, ask drbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. My guest, Dr. Frank Turek, his website is cross-examined, with a D at the end, cross-examined.org. Frank, let's grab some phone calls here, starting with Eliyahu in East Orange, New Jersey. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Yes, good afternoon, Doctor. I just observed the notion that government should be regulating human reproduction kind of wicked, maybe even a little like Nazi Germany, since government could be part of the problem. Since government is making the current choice for perversion, particularly here in New Jersey. They voted on that today.
So just explain exactly what you mean by government regulating human reproduction.
Actually, I believe your guest had made a notion that made a remark that government government...
Frank, why don't you just explain what the comments you made were having to do with marriage and procreation and why that matters to the government?
The reason the government is involved in the marriage business at all, keep religion out of it for a minute, is because the basic form of government, the best form of government, is the two-parent biological family that procreates, nurtures, brings forth the next generation. When the family is strong, then the government doesn't have to get involved with all sorts of social welfare problems. Crime goes down, taxes go down. Everything is better when the family stays together. That's the reason that the government's involved in marriage at all. It's not because two people love one another. It's because that only a man and a woman can procreate. Now, some will say, well, some heterosexual marriages don't procreate, to which we respond, yes, that's true, but the only ones that do are heterosexual. That is the reason why marriage should only ever be between a man and a woman. The government, in other words, gets great benefit out of, and society gets great benefit out of, promoting marriage between a man and a woman. It gets no such benefit out of promoting marriage between any other two partners or three partners.
So you're not saying that the government requires people to have kids or not have kids?
No, I'm saying that when a man and a woman come together and have children and stay together and nurture that child, that's good for society and good for the government.
All right. Hey, Eliyahu, thank you for the question. And Frank, thanks for clarifying that. Jeff in Baltimore, Maryland, thanks. Well, we lost Jeff. Let me dive back to this other subject. Look, Christians don't want to be accused of being judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give the positive side of the argument. God's very merciful and kind to us. When I started going to church services, I was shooting heroin. I was a rebellious kid. Nobody came up to me and said, you have to stop doing this. They reached out to me. They just loved on me. So why are we so judgmental towards others, especially homosexual issues? I mean, what Jesus said, don't judge. So why are we even thinking about what they're doing is right or wrong? Because we're guilty of judging when we do that.
Right. Well, and most people think that. But when they read further in the passage, Jesus didn't say don't judge. He said judge not lest you be judged. By the same standard you judge others, you'll be judged by that standard. So before you try and take the speck out of your brother's eye, take the log out of your own eye first. Then you'll be better able to help your brother. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 and following. Jesus is not telling us not to judge here. He's telling us to take the speck out of our brother's eye. That involves making a judgment. He's simply saying, get the log out of your own eye first, then you'll be better able to help your brother. So this is not a command not to judge. It is a command on how to judge. In other words, don't judge hypocritically. In fact, elsewhere in John 7:24, Jesus says, stop judging by mere appearances and make a right judgment. Now, Jesus did make a distinction between judging and being judgmental. Mm-hmm. And many people are judgmental. Look, we are all sinners. We're all fallen. And evangelism is just one beggar showing another beggar where the food is. So we are to be humble, but we have to make judgments because everyone makes judgments. The folks on the other side of this issue are making judgments. They're calling us bigots, homophobes. They're saying we're intolerant. Those are all judgments as well. The only question is, are your judgments true?
All right, so if we lived in the days of slavery, mm-hmm. would God expect us to make a judgment about slavery?
Oh, of course. And actually, let me point out, it's not just that we're making judgments, it's that we're evaluating what God has already told us is right and wrong.
All right, so soundbite answers. Someone says, don't judge. That means don't judge hypocritically.
Right.
That means don't judge unfairly.
Not only that, but when someone says don't judge, I would say to them, then why are you judging me for judging?
Exactly.
Because they're making a judgment as well when they say don't judge.
Got it. All right. Jimmy Kimmel the other night, late night talk show host, was mocking the Pope's comments about how same-sex marriage could be the end of human society, something like that. So obviously people are going to hear that soundbite and think mm-hmm. the guy's out of his mind and so on. And mm-hmm. I'm not Catholic, but this Pope is definitely a deep thinker.
Right.
He's a deep theological thinker and social thinker and so on. So it's obviously not just some throwaway statement that he made. It's part of a larger context. Well, Jimmy Kimmel, then someone sent me this clip. He proceeds to have a little fun with the concept of how same-sex marriage could actually destroy society. So I want you to hear this and then give me your response.
But whether you agree with the Pope or not, you're probably wondering how gay marriage could lead to the end of humanity. And it's actually pretty simple. I'll explain if you like. First off, two gay people get married, and then they buy a house, and then they decide to paint the house, let's say fuchsia. Okay? Now, their neighbor is furious about the new color of the house. Full of rage, he backs out of his driveway without looking and runs over a bicyclist. And that bicyclist happened to be the world's foremost researcher in the fight against infectious disease. He was going to work real quick after hearing about a new superbug that's 100% fatal and very infectious, but now he's dead, and without him, his research team fails to isolate the virus, and as a result, everyone in the world gets infected, and we all die.
All right, what's your response to that?
Well, that's just good old-fashioned fun, and of course, the mocking kernel of truth below it, or supposed truth, is that gay marriage or same-sex marriage won't affect society. And you know what? In the short run, it probably won't affect it that much, but it's over the long run. Just like divorce laws, no-fault divorce laws in 1970 spread all across the country, and now the disaster we can all see for ourselves.
When we go, like what? What's some of the disaster?
Oh, well, the disaster is that kids are born out of wedlock at a much higher rate, particularly in the black community. It's like 70%, 80% in some areas. 40% of all children born out of wedlock, which leads to higher welfare costs, which leads to higher taxes and bloated government. And, you know, this is why you can't bifurcate the fiscal and moral issues, Mike, as you well know. You always hear these politicians saying, let's leave the moral issues aside. One of the reasons we're having fiscal issues is because we have moral problems. These moral problems lead to greater expenditures by the government, which is one of the reasons we have a bigger deficit.
Got it. So I wrote an article a few months back called It's the Morality Stupid,
mm-hmm.
saying if you really want to fix the economy, you got to
deal
with the morality.
Yeah.
By the way, Frank, little vindication here. Andrew just had a typo that I corrected. So we're back. That's why they call me the doctor
here. That's right.
All right. Let's go to Sean in Middlesex, New Jersey. Thanks for joining the program.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. Good afternoon, Dr. Turek.
Hey, Sean. Go Giants. I'm from New Jersey, too.
That you are. Uh-huh. I met you last year over at the Apologetics Conference, and I'm hoping that you can talk Dr. Brown into maybe doing it next year and maybe getting in touch with Ray and maybe promoting it on the show a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. Ray ought to get in touch with Mike. He'd be great up there. Absolutely. In Long Branch, you mean?
Yep, in Long Branch. Yep, you were down there last year. We had a great
time,
and we need to get the word out so people are equipped.
All right, yeah.
So, Doc, what do you think, Dr. Brown? You think Mr. Ray Sierra can get in touch with you?
Of course he can.
Hey, by the way, you need to knock Chris Christie upside his head for me. I love Chris Christie, but he's doing some things on the gay marriage issue now that are worrying me.
My brother, Mr. Chris Christie, is probably the best Republican candidate we've had here, but he is Republican, not conservative, unfortunately.
And he's a rhino, yeah, in some areas.
Yeah. Well,
love his style, though. Anyway, go ahead, man. What's up?
A brother in Christ was a speaker at our church on Sunday, and he was mentioning a story that he had from the pulpit about having classes, and one child came up with a question about his stance on evolution, and it turned into a gotcha, because the student then asked, well, what do you think about gay rights?
Mm-hmm.
He expressed his position, and the student replied with, you can't choose to be gay, but you can choose to be a bigot, and he left the class. Obviously, this teacher is going to need a lot of prayer, and his name is Greg, so if anybody out there could pray for him. What do you think his next move should be? He was asked this question, and just like with Wisconsin, obviously it can be taken as far to the left as it possibly can be, and it might be. So,
call the ADF or the Liberty Council with Matt Staver, or ADF, Alliance Defense Fund. Either of those two organizations can help. But, you know, it's really tragic that in our society today you got to call on legal help just because you recognize that men and women are made for one another.
yeah, absolutely. So Sean, tell ADF, that's TELLADF.org, that's Alliance Defense Fund, TELLADF.org, or LC, Liberty Council, LC.org. Friends, this is becoming increasingly common. That's why I say again, speak now or forever hold your peace.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, friends, I encourage you to be listening online for the next hour, or if you're unable to catch the broadcast later, Frank Turek and I will be talking with Mitchell Gold, who is a gay activist. He's a businessman. He is fighting for the redefinition of marriage, and I think it's really important to hear his side. As we dialogue, we'll obviously have profound differences, but it's very important to understand where folks are coming from, folks for whom Jesus died, folks with whom we have profound differences as well. 866-34-TRUTH. April, Suffolk County, Long Island, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi,
hello, April.
April?
Yes, go ahead.
Hi, praise the Lord. I just wanted to comment on what you said before about judging.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people misinterpret it, that we aren't supposed to judge people, but Jesus specifically gave us instructions that we are to rebuke, we are to exhort, and, you know, if we see someone in sin, that we're supposed to correct with gentleness, lest we become tempted ourselves.
The fact is we are to speak the truth. We are to speak the truth in love. We're going to have our differences, and we're going to have our opinions, but when it comes down to truth, when it comes down to gospel, we're going to speak the truth in love. But thank you, April. And look, let me just say this. The first thing, whoever we're dealing with, when I was a Jewish teenager who didn't know the Lord, the big issue for me was not for people to talk to me about drugs or my lifestyle or, you know, the rock music I was into and the impact it was having on my life, or, you know, shooting heroin and all that. The issue with me was bringing me to Jesus, and the Holy Spirit brought deep conviction on my own life. 866-34-TRUTH. Mike in New York City, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello, how are you?
Doing well, thanks. Thanks.
You know, listening to the whole thing, I mean, you know, I thank God for the sister that did speak not long ago. You know, we are, as Christians, we are to judge righteously, but at the mm-hmm. same time, we ought to, just like God, it's like God Jesus, he loves the sinner, but he does not like the sin. But, you know, as we know in this last day, this day and time, in Romans, in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 1, God has turned a lot of these folk over to their own self, to reprobated minds. Because, friend, what God had made, if God wanted man and man or woman and woman to be married, he would have made Adam, then he would have made Steve.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and Mike, yeah, just to jump in and say this, The thing that's really important to be sensitized to is this, that if we use the line, We love the sinner, but we hate the sin. And we say that to someone who identifies as gay or lesbian. What they hear is, you hate me. Because they would say, this is not what I do. This is who I am. So whatever we're dealing with, the fact is we're dealing with behavior being sinful. We're dealing with lifestyle choices being sinful. And that's what we have to confront. And when we do that, when we put the emphasis where it needs to be, and ultimately the biggest emphasis is to get people into right relationship with God through Jesus. And through that, we find repentance, wholeness, healing, because every one of us is broken. Every human being is fallen, broken, and we need the mercy of God to transform us. Every single human being, we come in that same way. But Mike, the fact is, scriptures are clear, absolutely. And often within the church, we want to be politically correct. We want to make people happy. We want people to like us. And we're often afraid to speak plainly what scripture says. Yeah, you're right. God's design, very clear. Frank, we are in the church world. I'm in leadership. You're in leadership. We work with leaders. We work with pastors. We have many, many friends who are godly people. And yet, not just in this area, but in so many other areas, it seems that we have this philosophy that we're going to win the world by becoming like the world, or if we can get the standard down low enough that somehow that everybody will come in. It's like in order to reach the alcoholic, we all become alcoholics. I mean, it's just a larger church philosophy.
Yeah.
Do you see that in a pervasive way?
Yeah, and some will say, well, Paul said, I became all things to all men so that I might win some, but he didn't lower his standards.
No, it was cultural.
Right, it was more cultural in that regard. And he says to Timothy, he said, in the end times, people are just going to follow teachers who say what they wanted or who say what they want to hear, and they're just going to do that regardless of what the scriptures say. That's why Paul, in his last two letters, 1st and 2nd Timothy, talks all about doctrine. You know, stay strong on your doctrine. Stay strong on your doctrine, because the truth is more important than the cavalier way we treat it now.
So when Mike quotes from scripture, ultimately that's our foundation. The word of God doesn't change.
No, of course not. And what we win people with, we win them too. If you win them with easy believism and whatever they want to believe, that's what you're going to win them too. You're going to create a God in their mind that doesn't exist. When people say, I don't believe in God, I ask them, what kind of God don't you believe in? And they explain him to me, and I say, well, look, I don't believe in that kind of God either.
Right.
So, you know, you're believing in the wrong kind of God. You're believing in a God made in your image, not the other way around.
Right. Hey, Frank, just take a minute. We don't have much time, but tell our listeners about some of your other books and then the resources you have on your website, crossexamined.org.
Yeah, crossexamined.org, crossexamined with a D on the end of it. Most of the time I'm spent on college campuses presenting the topic from our book I co-authored with Dr. Norman Geiser called I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. And so you can go to the website there and see where I'll be. I do that mostly on college campuses and in churches, and that's providing evidence that Christianity is true. From the ground up, does truth exist? Does God exist? Are miracles possible? Is the New Testament and thus the entire Bible true? So that's where I spend most of my time. We have a TV show on DirecTV, Channel 378, every Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. and 1 a.m. Eastern Time. And all of those shows can be found at impactapologetics.com, which is a sister website of ours. And there's a lot of topics we deal with, including the one we're going to be dealing with in the next hour with our friend Mitchell Gold.
Right. The question of redefinition of marriage. Again, friends, whatever your position is on the issue of redefinition of marriage, same-sex marriage, it's really important that you hear both sides of the story, okay? It cannot hurt. There's no way it can hurt us to become more sensitive to one another's positions. That way we can speak truthfully and with love and respect when we have understanding. So if you're unable to stick around, listen online now, then please catch the broadcast later, askdrbrown.org, click on the line of fire. Frank, as you know, when God began to burden me about these issues 7 years ago, this had not been a major focus of my ministry. I've written 5 volumes on answering Jewish objections to Jesus. You can read out of the first 19 books I wrote, I don't think there's a whole paragraph dealing with homosexual issues, because my focus was what's wrong with the church, issues in our own midst. And right. I said it again. I've said it over and over. The great problem in America is not so much the presence of darkness, it's the absence of light. The problem starts here with us. Yet I got tremendously burdened because of gay activism, where it was going, and that's why I wrote A Queer Thing Happened to America. So the burden that's been on my heart, reach out, resist. Reach out to people with compassion. Resist the activism with courage. So friends, if you don't have a copy yet of A Queer Thing Happened to America, you can get that today with the 2-hour debate that I did with Rabbi Shmuley Boteach about homosexuality at Southern Evangelical Seminary. Together for $30, postage paid, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800 278-9978. You can order online, askdrbrown.org, click on the Line of Fire. All the funds that come in help us to get the resources out to you and to many others, as well as to help us broadcast to you daily. 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today is this. First, we must be grounded in God ourselves. Is your life right with God? Are you walking in right relationship with Him? Are you grounded in the truths of the Scriptures? Second, when we are rightly grounded, we can reach out and help a dying, hurting world. Together, we can make a difference. We are about to have an important and difficult conversation. Do we have the right to tell two people who love each other of the same sex that they cannot be married?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I'm holding in my hand a book that was given to me by one of the contributors. It's called Crisis, 40 Stories Revealing the Personal, Social, and Religious Pain and Trauma of Growing Up Gay in America. The editor of that book, Mitchell Gold, is sitting here with me. I've told people to read the book because it will break their heart. It will impact them. It will give them a perspective on the issues that we're dealing with, because these are people, not just issues. So in the midst of our very strong differences, I feel it's critically important we understand each other and treat each other with respect and compassion. So I'm going to be joined today by Mitchell Gold and Frank Turek. Frank's book, Correct, Not Politically Correct, How Same-Sex Marriage Hurts Everyone. And then my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, What a Long, Strange Trip It's Been. So we are right here. We've got one other guest. We may be able to grab a few words with him, Brent Childress, who is working to change religious viewpoints about homosexuality in America. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us. Here's the number to call. Now, I just want to tell you up front, I want to make this discussion as fair as I can and make sure that all views are heard adequately, but I'm going to try to get to some phone calls as well. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, or you can post comments on my Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown. Mitchell, thanks for coming in. I've read some of the stories here. I was able to watch a video where you share some of your story and upbringing because I wanted to understand you as best as I could. But this is the first time we've met face-to-face. So thank you, sir, for coming in and joining us.
Well, you're welcome, and I appreciate being here. I think we've come a long way that people are willing to sit and talk to each other about issues that are important to them, or emotional things that are important to them, or intellectual things that are. And this is an important subject to me. In addition to the book that you mentioned, Crisis, I've also done two other books, but they're decorating books. They're home decorating books that I did with my business partner, Bob Williams. And we started a furniture business in Taylorsville, North Carolina in 1989. So Bob and I moved down from the North in the mid-80s, and then we started our business in 1989. And you know, one thing I'd like your listeners to understand is that we started a business in a rural area in North Carolina, and it was interesting, two gay men coming and buying a factory that existed and then expanding it. And frankly, in the early 90s, the thought or talk about being gay didn't really come up. We just lived our lives. People let us live our lives. But with Bill Clinton becoming president and his immediate orders about changing the military to be open and affirming to gay soldiers, that started a time in the mid-90s in America where people started to be much louder about their reluctance to accepting gays as a natural part of society. And a little bit later on in time, there was talk of a federal marriage amendment. And in fact, instead of that, DOMA was passed. And what I started to see in the area was that I was watching people talk about how gays were a sinner, an abomination, This was affecting young people at our factory, affecting some of my factory workers, their children, one fellow in particular who worked for us. And I just said to myself, gosh, I can't believe this is happening. I mean, I'm going to turn 61 next week. I lived through the 60s. I lived through the time when we saw the really what I think is horrific, disgraceful segregation times. When we saw people being discriminated against because of their religious beliefs, because of women not having full equality.
All right, so for you, we got to just jump in here. For you, this is simply a matter of equality, fairness, all of God's creation, just being able to be who they are. And now in your viewpoint, you're seeing discrimination, bigotry, even to a point of hurting young people, suicide, that kind of thing.
God of light, hear our cry, send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today, friends. My guest, Mitchell Gold. Do you mind being called a gay activist? Is that acceptable? Because you are an
activist. I'd like to be called a furniture activist. No, okay. Gay activist is fine.
All right. An editor among the decorating books, sorry, just not particularly relevant to the show today. A Crisis, 40 Stories Revealing the Personal, Social, and Religious Pain and Trauma of Growing Up Gay in America. Along with Mitchell, Frank Turek, author of the book Correct, Not Politically Correct, How Same-Sex Marriage Hurts Everyone, 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, Mitchell, give me your perspective. Right now, there's a marriage amendment. I'm standing for this marriage amendment that makes clear that marriage is the union of a man and woman. I say it's in the best interest of society, and it's also what God intended, but I'm voting for it for several reasons. Frank's written a book about that. Tell me, honestly, how that feels to you, what message that sends to you, what it does to you or your community emotionally.
Well, it's similar to how I felt in the mid-90s when I saw the Don't Ask, Don't Tell legislation come about, and I saw DOMA come about, and people using their religious teachings to determine other people's rights in this country. And what was particularly startling to me is, I think it was June of 1995, the Southern Baptist Convention had come out with a formal apology to people of color for their role in slavery and segregation, and spoke about how the church had misused teachings and affected people and the kind of harm they caused. And that's the kind of harm that's being caused to gay people today. So the marriage amendment that's up is, you know, it's really way beyond a marriage amendment. First of all, it's going to affect a lot of non-gay people in their domestic partnership relationships. It affects other people's homes, kids, the way kids are treated, and so on. But what bothers me most about the amendment, I'm trying to remember who it was. I think it was Commissioner Jim Meeks in Charlotte, made some kind of a statement that this amendment really says gay people aren't welcome. This amendment really lets gay people know that they are unequal. And for a 14-year-old kid who's trying to understand their sexuality, to have an amendment out in the public discourse, to have this big public discussion about it, to have people saying that gays are a sinner and an abomination, that they're not entitled, that this is God's plan not to have it this way. I know from doing this book that these are devastating things to kids. This is why kids jump off of bridges.
All right,
this is why kids hang themselves.
All right. Frank, these are sensitive issues. It's not just theology. We're talking lives. I'm a father of two, grandfather of four. So I think these are all issues. You've got kids that we care about. And to just make this a dry technicality, well, the Bible says, or well, I just believe this. Obviously, even if we hold to that, we have to factor in the human dimension. So three things quickly. The comparison of race and homosexual identity, the question of the marriage amendment itself, and then the issue of, you know, gays not equal. What's your response?
Well, let's start with the first one. It's commonly, and Mitchell, great to see you. Mitchell was kind enough to come to a presentation I gave a couple years ago. Brent was there too, so I appreciate you.
And by the way, you guys just, you have at it. You can go back. What I mean is feel free to interrupt each other if you need to.
No, that's fine. I commonly hear that there's a parallel between race and homosexual behavior. Why do you say there's a parallel there?
How can you say there's not a parallel?
Well, race is a is a characteristic that one has that has no effect on one's behavior, but homosexuality is a behavior.
Who cares? What difference does that make? The reality is black people in this country were born the color that they are.
True.
And they were horribly discriminated against, even to the point of torture as slaves. And it was justified by people using their religious teachings to do it.
Yeah, but you see, you'll find... I'm sorry, I interrupted.
Well, I want to say is that the same parallel is what's happening to gay people today. That there are people in this country, you guys being two of them, who will use your religious teachings to justify why gay people shouldn't have full equality.
Well, first of all,
that's the parallel.
I think gay people already do have full equality, but let me go back to this race issue. You will find many former homosexuals. You'll never find a former African-American, okay? Homosexuality is a behavior. It doesn't matter where the feelings came from, right? I mean, if I'm born with a predisposition toward anger, does that make gay bashing
well,
okay
but
for me?
First of all, you're talking about former homosexuals. It is so few and far between, and I would be willing to put them on a lie detector after 5 years to see if they're former homosexuals. The reality is one of the worst let me just tell you something. One of the worst things you can do to a 14-year-old kid is to tell them they can change.
But the worst thing you can do
to a 25-year-old is tell them they can change.
You know the people that say, I never changed. But surveys have indicated over and over and over again that a lot of kids are very confused about their sexuality at 14. And when we're sending messages in the schools that change is impossible, when Kevin Jennings says there is no other side to the story and you cannot tell kids there's a possibility of change, now you're telling this kid that they're going through all kinds of identity crises. They're seeing every kind of bisexual image on television. They're confused about lots of things. Surveys have indicated that about 25% of those kids at 14 will say they may be homosexual, and then 10 years later, it's 2 or 3%. But that's just a total aside.
But that is such a red herring to throw into it. That really is irrelevant. To say to a 14-year to not be able to say to a 14-year-old kid that you are good and you are healthy, no matter what you are, gay or straight.
But did you put that for everything, no matter what you are? Or is there no inclination, is there no desire, is there no sexual tendency that's wrong?
Well, of course.
Is every sexual orientation a gift from God?
Well, it depends. If it's a sexual orientation that is hurting another human being, like polygamy, and it's
but
not...
But what's that hurting? Most of the world is polygamy.
I mean, open
but
your
But then
eyes.
You're bigoted, man. You're bigoted and intolerant.
Hold on a second. If you... polygamy, the way that it was practiced, and to take young girls that are 14 years old, or 12 years old, or 16
that.
Years old...
I'm talking about...
Well, that's what I am talking about, and that's one of the problems.
All right, but you know there's a ton of abuse. There are a ton of 30, 40-year-olds out with 16, 18-year-old gay kids, and those kids are having sex with people much older than them. The sexually transmitted diseases are way higher. That's harmful. That's harmful behavior. It's like, what is it, 40 to 50 times more likely men having sex are going to get STDs than heterosexuals? That's harmful behavior.
Should we
warn the 14-year-old?
You should. First of all, we should, of course, warn the 14-year-old, any 14-year-old, gay or straight, about premarital sex and the risks involved in any kind of sexual activity. Of course we should.
But we should tell them, you know, if you go this way, you're going to have a much higher percentage of sexually transmitted diseases and substance abuse and suicide, even on the other side.
Well, part of the reason that the suicide rate is higher is because of people who tell these kids, parents, church leaders. Frank, when I was at that church...
Why is it no lower in the most gay-affirming communities in America? You know that to be true. That in the most gay-affirming communities in America, the suicide rate with older people is still much higher than your
average. That is far from true. The reality is the suicide rate and the rate of mental depression for young gay kids when they grow up in a conservative area or conservative home is far higher. It's not even close. But let me just say to you, the American Psychiatric Association has said that this reparative therapy and that you can change and all that, that it is incredibly harmful.
Well, no, they didn't say that. Number one, they did not say that.
Yes,
their report, I studied this in massive depth, sir. The report, which was almost an entirely gay activist panel. They refused to have anyone on that did not share their viewpoints. Those are the ones that did the research. At the end, they still could not demonstrate that it was any more harmful than any other therapy that's offered people. If you want to go through the horror stories of people that try to overcome alcoholism or try to overcome obesity or try to overcome this, it's all the exact same thing.
Well, I would really challenge you on the American Psychiatric Association's report. I would really challenge you that to throw in, oh, well, it's all done by gay activists or something like that. This is a reputable organization. The American Psychiatric Association
and the American Medical Association
and the American Medical Association.
They all follow suit of the APA, sir.
You know,
all the other voices get silenced. Have you heard? Have you listened to people who have been lifetime psychologists, psychiatrists, highly awarded, decorated, former presidents of the American Psychological Association, saying the whole thing has become bigoted and intolerant, and they do not accept other viewpoints.
Have you listened to yourself? You're silencing me. You don't even let me respond to it. When you talk about the American Psychiatric Association in that manner,
I'm silencing you.
Okay.
Shall we listen?
No, but you just keep talking right over me. I mean, you made your point that you think American Psychiatric Association is a gay activist organization, and I just want to say to your listeners that I would really challenge that and let them go and look up the reports and let them look at it themselves and let them see those
Mitchell,
things.
You mentioned Robert Spitzer, and I know you know that he came out with a study.
I didn't mention Robert Spitzer.
I thought you did.
I did.
Oh, you did. I'm sorry. Okay. Robert Spitzer, as you know, is the gentleman who got homosexuality removed from the list of disorders back, I think, in the late 1973 it was.
Right.
Well, 20 or 30 years later, in 2003, he came out with a study that said highly motivated individuals can change their sexual orientation, change their desires, and even their behavior.
I tell you what, we'll pick this up on the other side of the break.
Okay.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today, friends. I am joined by Mitchell Gold, a gay activist and a man who stands passionately for his community. He is the editor of the book Crisis, 40 Stories Revealing the Personal, Social, and Religious Pain and Trauma of Growing Up Gay in America. I recommend folks read it. I differ with many of the conclusions, but it's very important we understand the human element of our fellow human beings suffering here. Frank Turek joining me, author of Correct But Not Politically Correct. I just want to read a quote and then turn it to Frank and then back to Mitchell. And you know, the funny thing is we're smiling here. My entire intent in talking about this was to air the issues, but wanting to be as sensitive as we can to each other, but we're all quite passionate about this. We're all from New York, New Jersey, I think.
Northern.
Okay, Robert Spitzer was one of the key men who was involved in declassifying homosexuality as a mental disorder in 1973. So he's been known as a straight man who is a gay activist, sympathetic. This is what he said in 2004. There is a gay activist group that's very strong and very vocal and recognized by the American Psychiatric Association. There's nobody to give the other viewpoint. There may be a few people, but they don't talk. And I have heard out of his mouth himself, Dr. Nicholas Cummings and then Dr. Rogers H. Wright, these are gay activist mentality. They've stood campaigning for these, you know, all of these decisions that you would applaud, Mitchell. They stood for them, and they're saying there's complete bias. Their views are being censored. This is guys that are in the 80s now that have been this lifetime liberals. But go ahead.
Well, Spitzer went on to say, he then acknowledged, I'm reading from my book now because I quote him in my book, Correct, Not Politically Correct. Dr. Spitzer then acknowledged explicitly that politics often trump the scientific facts at organizations like the APA. He also said that the APA should stop applying a double standard by discouraging reorientation therapy while actively encouraging gay affirmative therapy that's intended to confirm and solidify a gay identity. Good point by Dr. Spitzer. After all, if people can be talked into it, then why can't they be talked out of it? But I don't even really think that's the issue.
Yeah, let's say you can't change. Change is impossible.
Let's agree change is impossible.
Just for the sake of argument.
We differ. That's your position. But for argument's sake.
No, we all just agreed change is impossible. I thought it was great.
Okay, then why are you trying to change
me? Yeah, that's right.
Okay, you, with all your heart, believe this is how you've always been. This is how God made you. It's actually a gift. And that to try to change it is cruel. And the whole X-Men movies, there was actually a theme.
Let me just say two little things, though. I am saying that for me, my sexual orientation, at this point, it is the same as it was when I was much younger, and it continues to be.
And you'd say it's who you are.
And it's who I am. There are some people that I've met who, for some reason, I guess I think it's God's creation, you know, they're on some sort of a continuum or changing pattern. And when they were younger, in fact, I know a gal in Hickory that she was a lesbian in a lesbian relationship. And she didn't end it because she didn't like being a lesbian, but she ended up then meeting a guy that she liked, and her inner self allowed herself to do that. So there are people that have different feelings and different changes on it. But the point is, for a person who has a same-sex attraction, to try to pray the gay away or to try to go through some shock therapy or the various kinds of reparative therapy that have happened over the years, it has way largely proven that people cannot change their sexual orientation of who they are.
All right. Obviously, I have a comeback, but I don't want to come back with it because I don't want to distract from a larger issue, okay? I know people, my late brother-in-law came out of homosexuality, and I know so many people that were in it and said, thank God, even if I'm just celibate now or my desires have changed now, my life is so much better. But you know the horror stories on the other side. So
Of the horror stories on the other side is a reason that, gosh, let's give it up already. Let's not keep these horror stories going. If your brother-in-law that's a whole different thing. It has nothing to do with it.
No, in other words, if someone says something is wrong.
If your brother-in-law says that he's come out of it, that he's different now, that he's someone, that's fine. Fabulous for him. But I want you guys to lay off of these kids.
I'm not laying on the kids.
You are, because when you support an amendment and you are as vocal as you are, and Frank, when you stand in a church and say the things you said, I am here to tell you that is devastating to a young
person. What have I said, Mitchell, that is?
When you were, I mean, I didn't write down everything, but generally when you're in a church saying that gay people are broken, that they're sinners and an abomination.
Just like
that,
I am.
And that kind. Well, it's a much different thing when you're a 14-year-old kid and you believe in the concept of sin. The reality is, or at least my reality mm-hmm. is, that being gay is not what makes you a sinner.
Well, what do you mean by being gay? Having feelings?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that doesn't make you a sinner. You're right. But acting on certain feelings can make you a sinner. Just like if I act on certain feelings I have every day, it makes me a sinner.
Well, I would suggest to you that acting on the feeling that you must keep gay people from having full and equal rights, that's a sin.
But it's not full and equal rights. It's redefining marriage. That's the bigger...
Marriage has evolved and been redefined so much to have this thing where, oh, it's been the same thing for 5,000 years. It's absurd.
What's not a... Oh, okay. Every human being that comes into the world is the product of a male and a female. That's never changed.
Fabulous.
And universal through every society in terms of anything that ever existed on a national level... You might find some example in some small place in Egypt where they said it's same-sex marriage. Actually, it's pedophile junk, which we both mm-hmm. abhor and speak against. So the fact is there's only been one definition ever when marriage has been defined, which involves a woman and a man. It's never involved any other. It's never been just the union of two people. Now we'll take it up. We'll spend a whole half hour focused on that on the other side of the break. But I still think I want to say this plainly. No one says gays are an abomination. Oh, excuse me. If people say it, what they're saying is 100% wrong. We say acting on certain things, certain behaviors, are wrong and sinful in God's sight, period. Okay? That is a message. Now, if you've heard me speak, but I'm going to address it, there are two things. Compassion towards individuals, caring about every individual, doing what we can to fight against bullying, to teach our kids, treat everyone with respect, no matter if they're different or not. But we're not going to redefine marriage. We're not going to redefine society. We're not going to take away someone else's rights so that Frank Turek gets fired because he doesn't have freedom of speech rights anymore. He gets fired. How do you feel about things like that? Do you see intolerance on your side at all towards people like me?
Well, I mean, you've talked about six different things, but let's just go back to, that you don't say that gay kids are an abomination. But 5 years ago, that was a common thing that's being said, and that's where
we are. No, you're getting the statement wrong. It's the practice. It's the behavior that the scripture. It's not the person. The Bible never said it's the person. The Bible spoke of a behavior among other behaviors that are wrong in God's sight. And if you can translate it a certain way, but you can't accuse me of saying what I didn't say.
Well, what I'm expressing to you is that the thing that I've learned is that it is devastating to a 14 or 15 or 16-year-old, as well as a 46-year-old, who believes in the concept of sin, to be told that they, for having a same-sex attraction and acting on it and being the person they are and living their life fully, that is a sinful thing. You know,
all right, we'll come back. You picked it up on the other side of the break.
Okay, let me pick it up just at that point.
Got it.
It is important.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown with two special guests in the studio, a gay activist and a conservative Christian apologist. Fellow human beings for whom Jesus died, but we're having some passionate discussion about homosexuality, church's view of it, society's view of it, what's discriminatory, what's wrong, what does compassion require, what's right in God's sight, 866-34-TRUTH. So my guest, Mitchell Gold, editor of Crisis, 40 Stories Revealing the Personal, Social, and Religious Pain and Trauma of Growing Up Gay in America, and Frank Turek, author of Correct But Not Politically Correct. Okay. Right before the break, and for all of our listeners just joining us now, Mitchell, you wanted to convey your view of when a preacher, teacher, some politician,
parent
says homosexual behavior. Let's say they word it precisely: homosexual behavior is sinful. Homosexual behavior is an abomination in God's sight. You say that kid hears it a certain way with devastating consequences.
Yes. Thank you. Well, thanks for the pickup. And actually, a year and a half ago, June 19th, I got married in Des Moines, Iowa. And it was a really interesting thing that happened to me a couple weeks before I got married. I realized it was one of these things that I had put out of my life when I was a young person that came back to me. And when I was a teenager, I had a hole in my life because I thought, because of the way homosexuality was especially treated in the late 60s and early 70s, I thought that I could never be with another human being and have the kind of love and companionship and intimacy that my parents had, or that my older brother had, or that my best friends who were straight had. And it all of a sudden realized to me that was one of the great holes. And that's what a young teenager hears from parents or from people for the amendment number one that prohibits marriage between two gay people, as well as a lot of other things. And this is part of why this is so bad. I mean, you're taking a very natural part of my creation and saying, no, 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 you can't do that. You can't have this kind of life.
Mitchell, does anybody in society say that you can't commit yourself to another man till death do you part?
But there's a big difference between that and the legal part.
Well, you can do that.
You're not talking legal part. When you're talking an 18-year-old. You're talking emotional part.
Yeah.
Well, emotional, social.
Well, okay. Yes.
I didn't marry my wife for any legal benefits or for tax benefits or for...
Well, whatever you want to say. But, you know, so the answer...
marriage... Why does marriage have meaning? It has meaning. It has always been something. It has meaning. And to have society completely redefine marriage...
Why are you so selfish? Why won't you share it with other people?
Why won't I share? Okay, hang on. Play the clip, Joey.
The modern family and one of the most unusual and provocative new family arrangements that's out there. Polyamory, it's called, in which multiple lovers live together openly under one roof. Two women and a man, perhaps. Or in the example we're going to check out tonight, a woman and two men. Well, if that doesn't sound complicated enough, they're raising a child all together. Controversial. Here's ABC's Abby Boudreau for our series, Modern Sex in America.
Want to read it anymore?
This is the story of Jaya. Her lover, John. Her son, Eamon.
I mean, we're talking about two loving
and
people.
And her
versus,
other lover, Ian.
You know,
Eamon.
Throwing this kind of sexual thing in.
You got to be kidding me.
No.
That's the most bigoted, intolerant. You just said to me, shouldn't it be shared? Here's a woman sharing her love with two men, and they're raising that kid together.
But our conversation is about same-sex marriage, and now now we have to go on to another
topic. You just said, why can't it be shared? And now you, here, if I say, ooh, you said you got married to another man, all right? Now, you know what you just did to those people?
I didn't say ooh to them. I just said, why?
No, you had a reaction. You had a reaction.
No, I didn't. I said, why are you now bringing
it? No, first you had a reaction.
This is a typical conversation. Next, we'll talk about bestiality.
No, we won't. This is actually happening. You only want it to go your way because you're selfish, intolerant, bigoted.
Oh,
or maybe it only goes one way. I said that for effect. But now you realize what you're saying to all of us that love the Lord, trying to do the right thing. Turn it around. Look in the mirror.
Are we on break now?
Fire we want, for fire we please.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, my guest, Frank Turek, Mitchell Gold. Frank, you made a comment because we were passionately discussing these issues during the break here. Obviously, they're major issues to us, very deep issues to everyone in the room here. Frank, you made the comment that if someone's going to move a fence in the middle of the night, you should ask why the fence was there in the first place. What were you talking about? And in your view, what is the purpose of marriage?
Right. Well, the reason I said that you ought to pause long enough to see why somebody put a fence there to begin with is because the natural definition of marriage forever has been between a man and a woman. There have been maybe modifications on occasion. Why has it always been that way? Well, the reason it's always been that way is because we really don't define marriage. We just recognize it. We know that men were made for women and vice versa, and they bring forth children and establish a civilized society. The reason the government is involved in marriage at all is not because two people or three people or four people or whatever love one another. The reason that the government is involved in marriage at all is because marriage between a man and a woman bring forth children, which are the basic building block of society, that civilization, the best form of government is the two-parent biological family. Once the family breaks up, which really started in our country in 1970 with no-fault divorce laws, then you create all sorts of other problems. You create illegitimacy, welfare, crime, which means government has to go through the roof to take care of it, which is why you can't bifurcate the moral and the financial issues there together. So the reason that marriage exists from a government perspective is for the family and for procreation and nurturing children. It's not to recognize the two people love one another.
I think you should call Libby and Bob Dole and tell them that.
Why?
Let me just because they are in a marriage that's not going to have children.
Yes, but Mitchell, they're in a marriage that doesn't have children. We know that some heterosexual marriages don't have children, but the only marriages that do have children are heterosexual.
Not so. That's plenty of straight couples are having kids today. They adopt
straight
children.
Couples. Yeah, they do.
I'm sorry, I meant plenty of gay couples.
Yeah,
are
they adopt, but
today.
The only
they
way
they adopt
to...
or they do it by intro or you know whatever the thing is.
Yeah, obviously.
But, but I want to just go back to something else because you said something interesting. Mm-hmm. I mean, you keep saying you've said no fault divorce, terrible thing. Well, no fault divorce gave women the opportunity to get out of abusive marriages as one instance of why that is a good thing. And the reality is, divorce is far higher in southern states like Mississippi, Alabama, and Texas, and even North Carolina, than it is in Massachusetts and these other states where same-sex marriage is legal. So to make like the whole world is falling apart because gay people get married, it's just not so.
Well, why don't you respond to that first,
and
Frank?
And then I'll down.
Well, the reason...
teen pregnancy is down because people are advocating gay marriage?
No. Teen pregnancy is not... all I'm saying is teen pregnancy is not on the rise, it's on the decline, and... It's just because people are getting educated better and we have better facilities.
No, the reason that marriage is or divorce is lower in Massachusetts is because marriage is lower. fewer people get married, which means you have fewer divorces. They base the divorce statistics on the total population. They don't base it on how many people get married, which is exactly what you'd expect with same-sex marriage in place, because people no longer get married to have children because marriage is just about coupling.
But would you agree with me that there are so many divorces down here?
Absolutely.
One thing that really astounded me.
Absolutely.
In North Carolina, the area where I live, is the amount of divorces.
Absolutely. It's a problem.
Yeah,
it's awful.
Let me say, I've said this publicly over and again, that rampant divorce among heterosexual couples, even professing Christian couples, has done far more to destroy marriage and undermine marriage than any gay activist.
Absolutely.
I've said that over and again. And when people say, why aren't you doing something about it? Well, we've been dealing with these issues and trying to teach family things for years and years and years. But let's come back to something, though. If I'm convinced, I'm a follower of Jesus, I got radically turned around 40 years ago as a 16-year-old, you know, Jewish, drug-using hippie. Okay, get radically turned around. I love the Lord. I'm trying to please him. But I've also gotten into biblical scholarship in order to interact with the rabbis in my Jewish community. So I studied the languages, the original languages, got my PhD from NYU in Semitic languages. And that doesn't mean I'm right, okay? But I've studied scriptures as intensively as I know how. I've got a massive bookshelf at home just with pro-gay literature and related, and I've gotten all the books where homosexual activists argue their positions, and people who are gay pastors say, look, I tried to change, I went through, you know, the Mel Whites of the world and the Troy Perrys and all these people, and read the books and tried to understand the perspective and said, God, I'm completely convinced about this, but I'm looking at scriptures again. I've gotten on my knees with tears because of stories like yours. I'm 100% sure that scripture is totally clear, that his design is man and woman coming together, and that there's only one intent for marriage, and that's man and woman coming together. What would you like me to do with those beliefs? And I'm convinced that that's in the best interest of society because that's the way God made it. What would you like me to do with those beliefs?
Well, I think you have to really look at the totality of things and say to yourself and understand that that kind of strong belief system about those particular issues have just been proven wrong in the past. I mean, you know, I grew up in the 60s and there were people that were just, George Wallace was so firm about God created the races separate. You know, Jerry Falwell was so strong about it. And, you know, as God gave us minds to think, we have evolved and have seen that some of these things are just really wrong. And, you know, I would ask you to open your heart and your mind.
Well, I've done that. That's why I talked about praying with tears.
And I appreciate that. And to continue doing it because it does create enormous harm.
So are you 100% sure that I'm misinterpreting the scriptures and that you have a right interpretation?
Oh, I don't know if I would say 100% about anything.
All right, so then you keep your heart and mind open as well. But see, the difference is there's not a single negative word in the Bible about people of color. And it's clear that we all have one Father. There's not a single
negative. Well, if there isn't, then why in the world, why in God's creation did this country treat black people so horribly?
It is true you can misuse the Bible, but that doesn't mean every time you use the Bible, you misuse it.
Absolutely. Of course.
Right, so that's the point. Who fought against slavery in America? Who overturned it? Christians. Harriet Beecher Stowe.
Yes, thank you. And you should be very aware that there are lots of Christians out there who believe that same-sex couples is perfectly
A-OK. But here's the difference.
It might not be your brand of Christianity, but there are Christians out there who definitely believe that.
Homosexuality.
99% of them, though, don't believe the scripture.
That is just not accurate.
Wait, can I finish my statement? Okay.
Go ahead.
99% of those who are advocating for homosexuality in the church and you should ordain same-sex couples and so on, 99% of them do not hold to the authority of Scripture the way the abolitionists did. They hold to a very liberal interpretation of Scripture, very, very different than the authority of Scripture held to.
So they're also happy with killing babies in the womb. The point is that there are lots of Christians. You cannot let your listeners believe that all Christians believe that homosexuality is a sin.
I didn't say that.
Wait, first of all, homosexuality is not a sin. Homosexual behavior is
a sin.
We got to keep drawing that distinction because even if I'm born with something, doesn't mean I ought to act on it. If I'm born with anger, gay bashing is not okay for me, right?
Correct.
Okay.
So anyway, I don't know much about the furniture business, and it would be quite arrogant for me to come and lecture you about the furniture business, right? I hopefully know a nice chair.
Well, are you suggesting it's arrogant for me to come and talk to you about scripture?
I'm suggesting that you have as little basis for your viewpoint in terms of being a student of scripture to lecture me about it or to tell me to keep my heart open, as opposed to saying to me, hey, 40 years walking with the Lord, studying, praying, searching these things out. You have a right to your convictions. No, ultimately, you're telling me that my convictions, because in your view, they're harmful to other people, therefore there's something wrong with my view. Perhaps we're getting so far away from God and his word and his truth that we don't even have a sense about what's right and wrong, and that God has a much better way to heal and make people whole than we're even giving an opportunity for.
Well, you know, it's your choice. I mean, I'm sharing with you the fact that young people are so hurt by taking the position that you're taking. And this is what is killing kids.
Mitchell, are they ever hurt by getting involved in homosexual behavior?
Well, you know, is somebody hurt by getting involved in heterosexual behavior?
Well, true, they are, yeah. But homosexual behavior by its very, particularly male homosexual behavior, is naturally destructive, whereas heterosexual
behavior... Why would you say it's naturally destructive?
Well,
naturally destructive?
You can look at all the CDC data for it. We've been through some of it already. The higher rates of sexually transmitted diseases, the higher rates of AIDS, the higher rates of colon cancer. I mean, these are not debatable.
But part of the problem is this whole thing about how, first of all, we unfortunately have a lot of closeted young people, so they're not even getting the information. They're not getting good sex education at home. They're not getting it at school. And this is the reason why sexually transmitted diseases happen.
But no, the out and proud older male community, we're not just talking about kids. Let me just tell you this. There's no question that for every one kid that dies because of suicide, all right, which is a tragedy, an ultimate tragedy of a young person taking their own life, there are far, 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 far more that are dying because of sexual behavior as they grow up and as they become adults. If you really care, you should be on that platform day and night if you care about saving lives and helping people, because far, far more are dying because of the sexual behavior and the promiscuity and the sexually transmitted diseases and much of the culture that exists, because men tend to be more into sex than women. In terms of oversex and the whole bit and promiscuity, and when you don't have the woman to temper the relationship and to change it, we're asking for trouble. You're next when we come back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, we are racing towards the end of the program here with limited time. So listen, we got a bunch of callers want to weigh in. Let's do this. Everyone that's on the line now, this same hour on Monday, I'm going to open up phones. We've got folks on different sides of the issue, and Denny in Tampa, Florida, one of the identifies as homosexual, thanking me for putting the other side on. So we're doing our best to do that. But I'm very happy to set aside extra time on Monday. That's our next opportunity to just open the phones to call. So we're not able to get to the calls now, but please call, weigh in on both sides. All right, we really want to hear that. Again, Mitchell Gold's book, Crisis, 40 Stories Revealing the Personal, Social, and Religious Pain and Trauma of Growing Up Gay in America. Although I differ with the conclusions drawn from the book, I feel it's important that Christians in particular read this and understand the pain of those growing up with same-sex attraction and identifying as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender. Frank Turek with me, his book, Correct, Not Politically Correct. Okay, let's do this. Let's take a few minutes and focus on the marriage amendment. Mitchell and Frank, you guys can go back and forth. Mitchell, tell me why it's a terrible thing to vote for this marriage amendment, North Carolina. Frank, tell me why it's an important thing. You oppose
it. First of all,
there's
a law that already exists in the state of North Carolina that same-sex couples cannot be married. So why in the world do we need an additional constitutional amendment to say that? But the constitutional amendment goes further than that and stipulates that domestic partner couples can't create a contract and have benefits.
No, it doesn't.
And, yes, it does.
No, it doesn't. I've read the amendment. It does not say that.
You read it differently than me.
Well,
but that amendment, that amendment, without a doubt, does not only affect gay people. But even if it did only affect gay people, Why would we need to have an amendment on top of laws that already exist in the state?
Well, basically because of runaway judges, that's why. Because judges can come in and say that the Constitution of North Carolina has a provision for same-sex marriage, even though it doesn't, against the will of the people.
Well, that's thank God for judges who are the third branch of this government.
Thank God. Wait,
that can come in.
Thank God for judges that overturn the will of the people?
Well, yes. Thank God thank God that we don't have majority rule on people's civil rights.
You already have the same rights as you can marry somebody the opposite sex, just like I can. I can't marry somebody the same sex. Neither can you in North Carolina. The law applies equally to everybody, Mitchell.
That is just ridiculous.
How is it ridiculous?
Because I can marry somebody the opposite sex. I don't want to marry somebody.
Well, so what?
Sex.
Okay, so you don't have to.
Well. You know, these are just some. It's such a preposterous argument to me.
How is it preposterous?
Of why there should be a constitutional amendment that says that same-sex couples cannot be married.
It does not say that. What it says is that marriage in the state of North Carolina should just be between one man and one woman. And the only reason we have to do it is because of unelected justices overturning the will of the people. That's why the law needs to be put
into
place.
Well, if you think the will of the people for other people's civil rights is the way that it should go, I would say to you that in this country, we would, especially in the South, still have blacks as slaves. We would have interracial marriage that would be illegal. I mean, do you think interracial marriage is okay, that it's legal?
Interracial marriage, first of all, gender has everything to do with marriage. Race has nothing to do with it.
But interracial marriage was the Supreme Court that overturned the laws of this land.
Well, I'm not saying that you can't get a good result from a bad process.
As long
you
as
can. What I'm saying here is that marriage between a man and a woman is based on the fact that two genders need to come together to procreate. Marriage, two different races can procreate. So the
marriage
opposition
is not just about procreation.
Hang on. No, but that's the essential ingredient of marriage.
All right. Let me ask you a question. I understand your perspective. Say it's equal rights. You can marry someone of the same sex of the opposite sex. I don't want to marry someone of the same sex. Mm-hmm. Right. So I understand your perspective there, but. Real quick, couple of questions. One, why should the state even be involved in the issue of marriage? Why should they get involved in our personal lives?
I think they shouldn't.
Oh, okay. So the only reason that the state conveys benefits on marriage is because marriage conveys benefits on the state. Okay, so it has to do with procreation and raising a kid in what's considered to be the best environment in terms of being joined to a mother and father. That's the only reason the state cares about marriage.
That is your interpretation of it.
Well,
what is the right interpretation?
Well, the laws of marriage have a lot more to do with creating a contract and mutuality between the two people getting married.
But
and
you can create all kinds of contracts.
First of all, I don't even want to tell you how much it cost me to get married because I had to go through separate legal things because I can't just go and get married.
All right, listen, we have very limited time, so I want to ask you an honest question. All right. Is there any way that I can absolutely say we should not redefine marriage, and I'm convinced that God's plan is for marriage to be the union of a man and woman, and I hold to that. Is there any way I can do that without you saying it's hateful, bigoted, intolerant, destructive? Is there any way I can hold to my view and differ with you on this without being branded?
Well, this is, you know, I think it's a great question. And this is really what I want your listeners to hear. And, you know, this is people that, in Taylorsville that I know and love that I've seen, is people are really conflicted over how to handle the whole concept of homosexuality and marriage and so on. And what people have to understand is that it is so hurtful to young people to be told that they are broken, that they're not entitled to have full equality, that it is really devastating emotionally to your kids, to your brothers and sisters, to your friends and family. And the reality is when you stand up and say marriage should be defined as a man and a woman, and that is the only way it can be, that is horribly devastating to
people. All right. So in other words, the way it's always been, the way I'm sure God intended it, male and female, he created them, and the two coming together, you have to admit that a man and woman coming together are different than two men coming together or two women coming together. That the bottom line is, it's going to hurt young people. You know, I hear from the young people coming home from school in tears because of gay activist curriculum. Mm-hmm. I hear from the kids coming back in tears because everyone's got to try out bisexuality now and the thing to do. I hear from the people who are terribly upset because now the boy can use the girl's bathroom because they're transgender. Right. It's LGBT. It's the whole package. So if the only concern is how this is affecting young people, then I've got 1,000 arguments to bring as well.
Well, I can remember when I was growing up in school, and people used the N-word. People just said things so outrageously against blacks and so and women in the classroom. And rules came and said we cannot have that kind of bullying anymore.
Homosexuality is a behavior.
Right. So the bottom line is, though, we all stand against bullying. We all want to teach our kids. You're kind to everyone, whether they're different or not. Treat everyone with love and respect. We can agree on that. I got to go. We're out of time. I want to sit down face to face if we ever can.
I appreciate it. And I want to be against spiritual bullying too.
All right. Well, thanks for coming in on that.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. All right, friends. Mitch's book, Crisis: 40 Stories Revealing the Personal, Social, Religious Pain and Trauma of Growing Up Gay in America. Mitchell Gold. Frank Turek's book is Correct, Not Politically Correct. His website, crossexamined.org. Friends, get a copy of A Queer Thing Happened to America. Get my perspective. You can get it today with a copy of my debate with Rabbi Shmuley Boteach on homosexuality. Together, the two, postage paid for $30. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line, we have some profound differences right here, but of this much we agree. God created everyone in his own image. Jesus died for everyone, and we ought to lay down our lives one for another.